Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN Radio and VFN TV on the Christian Television Network. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. I give a big shout out to all the listeners on the radio and also our Christian Television Network audience around the nation and around the world. Joining me today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
And we spoke on an earlier program talking about Rahm Emanuel, the mayor of Chicago, former chief of staff's brother, is the one that actually was the architect of the health care, Affordable Health Care Act. Ezekiel wrote a book, and he's actually talking about the future, what's going to happen with insurance in the healthcare system. Mm-hmm. And we're going to be talking about that in this particular program. But first, since we have a limited amount of time, let's start now in reading the title so we actually knock it out, because the title may take up the rest of the program and future programs, and we'll cover it again.
The title of his book is
Ezekiel. This is Ezekiel's book, the brother of Rahm Emanuel, the former chief of staff for President
Obama, current mayor of Chicago, and who is the architect of the Affordable Health Care Act. His book is called Reinventing American Health Care: How the Affordable Care Act Will Improve Our Terribly Complex, Blatantly Unjust, Outrageously Expensive, Grossly Inefficient, Error-Prone System.
No, I'm sorry. You know how Pat and I are. You lose the second word. So break it down. Say it again.
Reinventing.
And this guy that wrote it, so we need to listen to what he's saying, right?
Yeah.
He knows America's. If you don't put the message in the title, they're not going to read the book.
They're not going to read it.
They still might read the book, right?
Yeah.
Can you cut and paste this thing? Okay, so reinventing.
American
That's what this whole thing is about. The vision, then, is about reinventing.
Mm-hmm. American healthcare. So healthcare.
Which just means when surgeries and blood pressure.
Doctor's
and
visits.
Surgery, all that kind of stuff. Okay. Okay. All right.
How the Affordable Care Act will improve our terribly complex.
Okay, now the Affordable Care Act, also known as Obamacare, so it's either one of those words, but it's the new health care.
Mm-hmm.
So it's complex. And by the way, it's complex. I mean, it's very complex. They have coding systems. I know that your mother worked for years just figuring out the billing codes and being able to figure out, is that a 344 or a 345?
And someone's going to pay for this Tylenol.
Somebody is right. So it is complicated. It is complicated. Okay.
Blatantly unjust.
Yes. I think it's unjust. Biblical standpoint.
Right.
I think it's good, but I think it's unjust because if you actually go outside of your PlayStation 2 and your cable and look around and travel in your community, you'll find out that everybody doesn't have the same opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, being in law enforcement, I saw many people. Your hospitals in your city have a thing called indigent care that they put in certain hospitals. This is, it's your job, Mr. Hospital, Ms. Hospital, this year to handle all the indigent care. And so they would take people who doesn't have insurance and they would, you know, take care of them. But I know for a fact, I watched how they were treated.
Oh, yeah.
And they were not treated as respectful as the person who walks in with a Blue Cross Blue Shield, who had a union job, who had a better favor with education, socioeconomic situation, and wasn't repressed.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So I think that's fair.
That's right.
That's fair. Read it again from the beginning. Break it down again.
So reinventing American healthcare, how the Affordable Healthcare Act will improve our terribly complex, blatantly unjust, and the next adjective, outrageously expensive.
Man, have you ever had a Tylenol or something in the hospital? I would, you know, that's just, isn't that amazing?
Like, family coverage. I'm using these premiums.
I didn't know I was paying for a left wing here on your building. I thought I just wanted to, I had a headache.
Yeah. You know? That's after you've paid your monthly premium. Some of these premiums, family premiums, are $600-$800 a month with deductibles into $3,000 to $5,000.
Right.
You figure, how do people in the world, I mean, do you have $3,000 worth of deductible bills during the year to meet before you can actually get some of these discounts? It's very, very expensive.
Right.
Having been in the insurance business, I mean, I have seen this firsthand.
Right.
It's very, very high. Very high.
Well, not only that, you know, when, you know, I was going through my hospitalization, I had less empathy, not because I didn't want to have empathy. Sometimes you just don't know unless you go through something and walk in somebody's shoes. And so when I was going through a hospital and doctors and all that kind of stuff and with insurance coverage and I mean, it was amazing how fragile and how there's not checks and balances in the context of the things.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that there was a mistake on behalf of the hospital. And this is what they did, that when you walk into a hospital, the doctor bills separately. The doctor's office bills separately. The hospital bills separately. I'm surprised that the receptionist didn't send a bill. But they all were like, and they were like, I don't know, even, you know. And so they made a mistake when I came in on their little entries, like it's the complication part.
And coding,
yeah. And so they just called me up less than a couple of days after my surgery. And, I was out of it. You know what I'm saying? I had the Michael Jackson just go. I didn't feel a thing. And they tell me in the midst of why I'm still in recovery, hours in recovery, They tell me that you don't have insurance. And they tell me that you're not covered.
Mm.
And they just become basically they're attacking me.
Mm.
They're just kind of attacking me.
While you're recovering.
Yeah, and what it was they just made a mistake. They actually chose my car insurance over my health insurance, but they made the mistake.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just like, it's like I plotted that or something. Mm-hmm. And it's like, my goodness. And so I said, after I figured out what it was, like, no, that's the car insurance. The medical insurance, you should be covered in the medical insurance. And so that's November. Well, then I get a call maybe 1 year later, the next November.
Wow.
And I haven't talked to them all since then, and the hospital aspect of it. And this lady calls me from the hospital, and she is fierce. I never met her before. I hadn't talked to anybody in the hospital. And she's just like, I'm serious. I am serious. I'm not. I mean, she was just like, you, and you did you. And I'm like, hello, who is this?
Right.
And it felt like what somebody would say, a collection agency or something. It's like,
wow.
I never even talked to them before. I never even heard. Who are you? Where do you work? How close are you to my proximity? Because I want to see you.
And what's sad about that is that, like, you can talk and you can understand things. You're able to, figure things out.
Well, I'm getting to that. Okay. I'm getting to that. And so then I'm just shocked. And she says, well, last time we talked to you, you were angry. And that was November coming out of surgery.
Yeah, right.
So there was notes. The young lady had notes that said I was angry because they said I wasn't covered when I was still coming out of surgery when they called me and they made a mistake about my insurance coverage. I can't remember if I was angry or not, but I remember that I was under anesthesia. And so I'm talking to her and I said, whoa, hold on a minute. So what are you talking about? And she says, you're going to have to pay this. If your insurance company doesn't pay this, I'm like, okay, hey, all right. Well, let's just slow down a little bit. What's your name? Mm-hmm. She says, I'm not going to. And like, you're not going to what? Okay, if we need to pay it, what happened? And they're talking about, you gave the wrong this and you gave the wrong that. And I'm like, what are you talking about?
Oh, my goodness.
Now, this is my first phone call with this hospital. And I refuse to give the name presently, but I may in the future give it because this is true. And I'm getting to what you're talking about. And I'm shocked. I mean, what do you do when the first phone call is, like that? That's the first phone call.
Accusations.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we'll just maybe write you a check. How about that?
Yeah.
How much do we owe you? And they said, like, $400,000. I'll get back with you in a minute. So it was very expensive. And so I actually called my wife because it just kept going and going. And I put it on the speakerphone, looking at my wife like, am I doing something wrong? What's going on? And I was like, whew. And so I said, well, I'll get back with you. And I know she probably put notes down again. He was angry again. I wonder why, if I was, but I was just shocked.
Right.
We were just shocked. Like, whoa. And so then I called my provider in the context of it. And they said, the hospital made a mistake. They're supposed to let us know within 3 days that you were going to be in the hospital longer than 3 days, and they made a mistake. Because of that, they actually got to cover the expense. that it's on them. They should have actually notified us, the carrier, within 3 days. And I thought, oh.
Nobody's job was online. Yeah.
And I said, okay, what do you think? And she says, well, I'll let you know. Call me back on Thursday if I don't call you back. And we're just having this nice conversation. And she calls me back, and I call her back, and she says, I handled everything. Mm. I handled everything. Everything's fine. But let me tell you who that was. That was VA. Mm. That was not Humana. This was not these different insurance agents. That was VA. Mm-hmm. So don't tell me. My comparison right now between private enterprise and hospitalization versus VA and how well VA treats someone. Thank you, sir. Can I help you? We talked about normal things. There was, you know, in the context, like, what is that? What was that? And it's like, you know, we got to reconsider this. And when we get back from this break, we're going to talk about what John's talking about, because that's where I was going to in this. And of course, everything was covered in that. But I'm thinking, this is immediately what I'm thinking to me. What do you do if you're 60 years old, 70 years old, you're a widow or a widower, you know, or you're some young child or something, your child's go through surgery, and they call you up like that and treat you like that? Mm-hmm. I mean, she was saying things like, and they didn't pay your doctor, and they didn't do this. It wasn't even true. The doctor had already been compensated and paid, and I talked to him, because they're all separate. I said, was the receptionist paid? I don't know. And it was like so complicated. So we can't say where we're going, that this thing needs to be reformed, because I was shocked how many people are being devastated because they were threatened because of a medical situation when they went about it the right way. But this panicking bottom line actuary hospital starts calling up Mrs. Jones, who just had heart surgery like that. Mm-hmm. It just breaks my heart. We'll talk more about that at the break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
We all know the power of a good word. With Focus on the Family Minute, I'm John Fuller. Do your words encourage or discourage others? Florence Littauer shares a memorable story about her father and a private box filled with newspaper clippings.
I said, what are these? He said, these are articles that I've written. I said, why didn't you tell me you could write? And he said, because your mother always said, because you don't have an education, you shouldn't try to write. What if you tried and it wasn't any good? We'd all be humiliated. My father had a box of broken dreams. Things he could have been, if only someone had encouraged him.
Someone needs your encouragement today to pursue a dream. Tell them you believe in them, and then watch what happens. More from Florence today at FocusOnTheFamily.com/radio.
And we want to encourage you today. Listen, the Lord is a faithful Father. He is hope and love himself. He's compassionate, he's gracious, he's full of mercy, and although he is sharing with us and letting us know that, listen, judgment is upon us, if we repent, if we cry out to him, if we seek him and humble our ways and acknowledge, Lord, we have sinned before you, things can turn. Mm-hmm. Things can turn. Things don't have to happen. And that is our desire, and that is our hope.
Right, and that's why it's so important to partner with us, so we can continue to be that trumpet.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Partner. We have all different ways how you can do that just by going to VFNTV.com. We have worked very hard to try to put things together in a way that you can easily find it. There's ways for you to partner as a sponsor. There's ways for you to partner as an underwriter. Just go to VFNTV.com, and you'll see the torch on the right hand in the center of the page. And you'll be able to follow, has some hands around the torch. Mm-hmm. That's your hands. That's our hands. That's all of us holding the torch together so that we can continue to keep the light in this dark world, and so that others can come and be informed and grow in the things of God. Listen, we can do this when we have our eyes focused on Jesus and on him alone, and when we have our ears attentive to his very word.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Welcome back to VFN TV and the daily radio program. Joining me is Pat and John, and we're talking about this healthcare situation in America, Affordable Health Care Act, Obamacare is called as well. We're talking about a new book written by Ezekiel, Rahm Emanuel's brother, which we talked about in the early part of the program, and he's the author of this particular new way of doing things. And but we're talking about, hey, you know, we cannot deny the reality. It's amazing that people who have cheese criticize people who stand in cheese lines. Isn't that weird?
Wow.
People that have water criticize people who don't have water. And that's the human nature. But understand this. If you're called, if you're a Christian, if you call yourself a Christ follower, we help people get water. That's what we do.
That's right.
We help them get water. And so I was talking about my experience in these telephone calls, and you can hear it, that as this particular lady was just ranting. I mean, she was ranting. And it would have, I mean, you could basically put it this way. She sounded like a bill collector. Like she'd been, like somebody has been calling you, trying to get a hold of you to collect the bill, and you hadn't talked to them or you avoided them or something of that nature. So imagine that kind of intensity. But yeah, this is the first phone call, first time we ever met, and my realization that my insurance presently hadn't paid it yet. And so I'm just shocked. And so I asked her during this. I said, "Is this call recorded?" And she says, "No." I'm thinking, oh. I said, I sure wish it was. I wish this call was recorded. And they're doing that on behalf of this hospital. So this hospital knows. You know, they know. These are like, I guess these are like Vito in the mafia or something. You know, you don't mess with Vito. If you need a collection, they'll go collect this thing for you.
Right.
We'll keep this new wing going out here on this building. And it's like, what are you doing? And how many people are so intimidated that that happened to somebody, say, that's in their 70s. And they turn on their TV after hearing that ranting and raving and, you know, we're going to take you and we're going to take whatever. And, you know, and my response to her is like, okay, I'll pay it.
Yeah. I'll pay it. Just in her 70s.
Until she said how much it was.
Yeah.
And I said, I'll get back with you. But I would have paid it over time.
Yeah.
And so then, imagine now the 70-year-old would have heard them talk to her like that. She sits down just stunned and terrified. She has her house paid for. Her husband had worked and take care of her and got everything kind of set up where she can have a decent life, you know, shelter and all that. And she turns on the TV and it says reverse mortgages.
Mm.
It says reverse mortgages. You know, we can give you cash today for your house today, and you can live in as long as you want to. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to make any payments at all. Just keep the tax up and maintain the premises.
Mm.
And she goes, maybe I can take care of that $125,000 open heart surgery that way. And so she calls up the man who comes on continually that she trusts his face, and he doesn't even work. He's a hired actor, but she trusts his face because she saw him in a John Wayne movie. And she gets the DVD, and her grandson tells her how to put it in the machine, and she puts it on and she listens to this. She calls the number. Well, I have a house. And understand, she owns this house.
Mm.
And it's about to be taken from her by this healthcare system of this threatening call because they made a mistake and she's terrified she's going to lose everything. That's not just.
Mm.
That's not just. And the people that are going to take her house to give that hospital that money right there in the situation where they made a mistake, that's not just. And by the way, if she misses a tax, if she doesn't keep that property up, they take it from her. They take that house from her. And the second that she passes, the owner passes or sells the house, then she loses all that. Every bit of it just goes away. Mm-hmm. And her inheritance that she's going to pass on to her children is now owned by that particular mortgage company, but really it's owned by the hospital. And this is what Isaiah says. God sees that widow's furniture in your hospital. He sees how that bed was paid for. He sees how that new wing was paid for. He says he sees the widow's furnishings in your home. You cannot get unjust gain and brutalize people verbally to extort, and it's extortion really. It's, you know, coming from law enforcement, it's a second degree felony, extorting people for money. Mm-hmm. You're just using health. It's a good, strong way that, you know, it's their health or their child's health to collect. And so, yeah, I think, you know, as a Christian, and so I started thinking about, you know, what's an alternative? And Fox News is just reporting on a Christian companies out here that have a viable alternative, and we're not recommending them, but in the context, it's not even insurance, but it's kind of a Christian way to take care of things. Understand, how did you take care of things before there was insurance?
Right.
Prayer. Living right, you know? Mm-hmm. And, but they said, you know, with just weeks left in signing up for the insurance, and by the way, you got to sign up at healthcare.gov, and we have, hopefully there'll be a link on this to show you how to get there. We got a way for a video that shows you how to sign up, because it's the law now. It's a growing number of people that report are opting to enroll in a Christian alternative to traditional healthcare insurance, a Christian alternative. Nationwide networks of fellow believers help share each other's major medical bills through what's known as healthcare sharing ministries. Think about that. It's like, wow. This is the nation's three largest ministries boast more than 242,000 members spanning all 50 states who agree to live so-called biblical lifestyles, meaning regular church attendance, no drugs, tobacco, sex outside of marriage, and limited alcohol consumption. And it's like, wow. And I was watching this one particular story that Fox News is reporting on, that this one mother, her son fell and busted his teeth. His front teeth were knocked out. Mm-hmm. And so she was part of, I believe, MediShare, which is one of those companies, and who, by the way, has been around since 1993, according to their website. And over, they paid out over $825 million has been paid out to their members, mm-hmm. and helping them pay medical bills. And she paid $100, and then MediShare, whatever the company was, the mm-hmm. alternative, paid for the rest of it. And what it is, it's like sharing. It's like you pay so much money in a month, and it says on their website here, it says, you know, monthly amounts, family options average less than $300 a month for the family. Hmm. Think about it, less than $300 a month. And of course, imagine this. Let me first talk about how this works. And so with that, then they start saving. This is a savings account. And the money just migrates to whoever got hurt.
Right.
And it sounds like Israel, doesn't it? And then mm-hmm. somebody goes to surgery, it migrates over there and takes care of that need. But that person paid in during that time. And then, you know, little Bobby brushes his teeth out. And so it migrates over there. And people are continuing to pay into it. And like they said, this one company, MediShare, has paid out over $825 million.
Wow.
Has been paid out and shared and discounted among the members there. And it's a proven biblical model, they say, for Christians, helping Christians. And that's what the Lord, you know, asks us to do. But think about this. If we could do something so powerful like that, mm-hmm. with paying these premiums, imagine this. Imagine that if you started tithing. First of all, get rightly related to a biblical-based church gathering, not some mechanism that keeps building wings on while people are starving in your presence. You know, the bouquet costing more than their car payment did, and they need a car payment. They're losing their car because you got a $500 bouquet up front. You know, mm-hmm. I'm talking about getting in a biblical-based church gathering and start tithing. Realize that only 3% of the church, of regular church attenders, that go twice, once every 2 weeks, according to George Barna, even tithe. And then understand, if we just start giving to God what's his, honor him first, he said he'll rebuke the devourer on our behalf. And we may not get sick, but we could get sick, but God will take care of us in the context of that. Secondly, if 97% of the church is not even giving to God what's his, they're not tithing, they're not taking the first 10% of their increase and giving it to God. If we did that, we'd be a powerhouse.
No doubt.
We'd be a powerhouse, and we could build, like, I don't know, hospitals. Hmm. We could have hospitals, and we could take Mrs. Jones in, who was being abused by that corporation and those stockholders and those actuary folks and those insurance companies, and we could say, Mrs. Jones, welcome to whatever hospital. We're going to take care of you. We're going to pray for you. And the church has provided this for you. And you have all these volunteers all over the place that are like loving on folks, and you know, like Candy Stripers are and some others, but they just, this is their ministry. Then you have doctors who love God, but they're also getting a reasonable salary, but they know this is my mission. This is my ministry.
Wow.
And we could have all these, and if we could do it now before the government totally takes over, because the evilness behind all this, no matter people's intention, is to totally to remove God out of the picture. But if we jump in there, imagine, we don't even know what we could do yet. Right now, we're with the 3% that is tithing. We're paying $1.3 million per baptized believer.
Wow.
We're not building hospitals. We're having new church plants. We're calling them. We're spending like $3 million on a church plant. We actually say, let's build hospitals.
Exactly.
Let's tell doctors, if you're leaving that practice there, come to our practice. Begin to practice the words and ways of God. Listen, we commit in our town to take care of you and your family as our doctor, and we're going to figure this out. We're going to begin to do this. We believe that our God will provide for us. I think this is what we can do. And MediShare and companies just like MediShare, it looks like, they've figured it out. And people, by the thousands, they said, are now coming here. And I think, and I don't know, I can't verify this, but Fox News is saying, we'll put the article up so you can see it on the torch. They're saying it's accepted as a viable alternative. So if you have this, you might not have to have the government's health, Affordable Health Care Act, which is pretty cool. You can find out more about it on the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com.
The Army Navy Store. Come visit us today, one of our two locations to better serve your needs in Crestview and Fort Walton Beach, where we have tactical gear, guns, ammo, multicam, and so much more. Come see us today. Amazing Automotive, serving all of your automotive needs for over 30 years. Where their motto is, if it flies, floats, or rolls, we can work on it. On the corner of Hollywood and Marietta Boulevard. Come, bring your vehicle in today. DME, Digital Media Education. If you have an interest in learning how to create exciting and impactful videos, or how to better understand the technology of recording and producing music, then Digital Media Education is for you. Contact them today. You Scrub a Pup in Mary Esther, right across from the Santa Rosa Mall, where we offer three levels of service for all of your dog washing needs. Shampoos, after-bath doggy colognes, lots of treats and belly rubs, and so much more. Bring your dog in today. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I love VFN Radio. You know, I'm not saying it because I'm part of it, is the fact that I listen to it when I'm not on it, because it's the Word of God. It's a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And I encourage you to get a device, a radio or an something or an something, and put it on your desk at work, and, you know, put it by the kitchen sink and just carry it with you or whatever, and just listen. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Think about it. 24 hours, 7 days a week, all around the world, you can hear VFN Radio. And if you miss a segment, that you just like catch a half of it, don't be disappointed like it used to be. Oh, I'm just so disappointed. I'm sure the first part of that was good. You can actually go into the highlights or go to the VFN Torch, and you can hear the whole segment. The whole segment. And in addition to that, you can have podcasts downloaded into your devices. And podcasts are so cool because you can keep them forever in your own storage device. But be encouraged. Understand that this is very, very important, because as the days progress, although it gets darker and darker in the outside for the church, for those who love God, it gets lighter and lighter. This is what the Word of God says. He says, your peace in the midst of chaos and trouble and disaster is a witness to those who don't know God. He says, this is a witness to them, letting them know that you're going to be saved by God. God's going to protect you in it. But to them, it's a witness that they're going to be destroyed.
unless they know God, which is a witness. You're just having peace. And by listening to VFN Radio, you can keep that peace. You can keep that peace so you can be a witness. Sometimes your greatest witness is to sit beside somebody while they're watching the daily news and just relax and have a cup of coffee mm-hmm. while they're biting their fingernails. It's like, what? Mm-hmm. I mean, really mean it. You know, they aren't faking it. It's just like, mm-hmm. what?
Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Welcome to VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. I want to welcome our Christian Television Network audience. Joining us today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
If you missed our earlier programs, you've got to catch them. We're talking about... I mean, it's encouraging. I mean, it's kind of discouraging, but we're looking authentically. We're being honest and saying, you know, it's not working. Mm-mm. And you think, well, we need a viable alternative to healthcare in America. What would that be? You know, as Christians, you know, we're talking as Christians. Mm-hmm. We follow Jesus Christ and we look at his what he says and we say, that's what I want to do because he's the Lord of my life. And he tells us in the Word, he tells us how to take care of folks. And so we were talking about in the earlier program, and there are organizations out there. It looks like they've been moving in this area for quite some time, and God just had some things reserved, it looks like, for an alternative to the Affordable Care Act for Christians that makes sure that your family is taken care of financially for a big bill or something taking place. I even think some of these guys, from my memory, I'm not really sure, but and you can find out more about it in the earlier program, that if you get sick and you have to get a doctor's bill, I'm talking about healthcare insurance and that type of thing, is they even take care of like power bills and things of that nature to kind of help. I mean, that's all part of it if you get sick and you're the breadwinner. Mm-hmm. But you can find out more by going to the VFN Torch and VFNTV.com, click on the Torch and just see more details about that particular healthcare segment. We do have Penny Nance, the CEO and president of Concerned Women for America. They're traveling the country right now, educating us on the Affordable Health Care Act because the time is coming. What's the due date for? It's really soon. I don't know what it is. We'll make it available to you. We'll ask her. You know, she'll be on this week and from Washington. You know, helping us. It's nonpartisan. It's like educate us. What does this really mean? And that's what they're doing. And they have a doctor, a lawyer. And, of course, Penny, Nance, educating us on what's happening. We need to know. By the way, it's a law, and you got to sign up. And if you want to know more about signing up for health care, it's called Affordable Health Care Act, or some people, it depends what channel you're watching. Some of them call it Obamacare. Other channel calls it Affordable Health Care. Depends on how things are going. Mm-hmm. But you go to healthcare.gov, and it tells you how to sign up. But understand this. It's the law. And so because it's the law, as a Christian, you know, we need to, you know, do like a friend of mine said, he said, well, God, in my heart, I mean, this is how you feel. You might feel it's good, but if you think you shouldn't be that way, you say, well, dear Lord, I just feel like uncomfortable with this, but I'm going to do it because this is what, it's not a sin, you know, mm-hmm. it's not a sin. Tax is not a sin. It just feels like sin.
March 31st is the deadline.
Oh, my goodness. So you're looking a couple days away. And it's illegal. Understand, they're hiring, was it 13,000 IRS agents?
There's a lot, thousands.
13,000 is enough. We did the numbers once when we were prophesying about this, and here it is. Right. No more prophecy. This is that. But you can go back and you can go, wow, look at that. They told me and I didn't listen. But there's enough IRS agents going to be, I think it was 16,000. There were additional ones. Maybe it's 33,000.
Yeah, I think it's bigger.
33,000. But you can find the numbers on there. Anyway, it's enough. If you counted every county in America, every county in America, and some of them are called parishes and whatever. But if you count every one of them, there's enough. There's 3 IRS agents per county. And you think, well, why would that be? Because they're the ones that are going to be collecting their premiums for your health care. They're gonna need that many people to be able to go through your finances to see if you really can't afford the surgery and if they should really pay it or not. Mm-hmm. And who knows more how much money you have than IRS? So you just kind of merge the database, look at your loan forms or your short form, and find out that, you know, you're spending way too much money on going to see New Orleans Saints, who's not going to win again. So you're just wasting your money. And if you're going with this surgery on your toe, you know, you got to quit going to those games. You know, that's just, yeah, this is for example.
Yeah. Just for example.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so.
Well, this stuff's expensive. You start calculating t-shirts, paraphernalia, hats, all that stuff. No, I mean.
Basketballs. Those are very expensive. Jonathan told me how much this costs. That was pretty cool. I would have got one. Yeah. I'm glad you should have got two. I wanted one as well. Anyway, so that's pretty cool. I mean, these are different. I guess my Globetrotters are in, you know, wheelchairs. Right?
Yeah. Curly.
Oh, I heard about them tickets, yeah.
Metal Art Lemon, yeah.
Wow, yeah, Metal Art. Remember Metal Art?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that was
Remember the cartoon?
No.
No.
Oh, come on. Chris remembers.
Second Street.
You're just scared he's going to put duct tape on you. Well, how's the prayer tower going? So, just send me money. Anyway, so the...
healthcare.
Yeah, healthcare. We've talked about healthcare. You need to check it out in our audio program. We're going to... I want to hear this morning, you know, what is God saying to you, John? In your abiding time with God... I know that you were sharing with me that you really wanted to share what the Lord was saying to you. And it was powerful yesterday. If you missed yesterday's program when Pat was talking about, you know, and this, understand this, if you don't abide with the Lord, now is a time of all the times and all the history of this nation. Now is the time to begin to abide.
No doubt.
While you have time. And if you don't know how to do it, we have a plan for you at iabide.org. iabide.org. It's a simple plan. I mean, you can do it with a crayon and a piece of paper, but you need to believe me, because any kind of hireling you might have been following is going to panic and run. He says, this is what Jesus said. When they see trouble, they panic and run because they never cared about the sheep in the first place. And if they don't know your name, you know what I'm saying? If they don't, if they, you haven't, you know, if y'all don't know each other, It may be the fact they don't care about you. They don't even know who you are. You know? You need to get to someone who knows your name and get close. And that normally happens in the context of a smaller gathering. So if you're in a large gathering of believers, I encourage you, you know, start in addition to that, you know, get in together in like a home group or something, or a small gathering, a coffee shop, and build vital relationships with a few other believers, and you can fundamentally transform who you are. And even that large gathering where there's everybody's in smaller groups, because I remember in New Orleans, you know, when Hurricane Katrina hit, that these large gatherings scattered everywhere and nobody knew anybody. You know what I'm saying? The database has gone, it's wet,
right?
You know, the computer don't work. They're in Houston, they're in Louisiana, they're in Mississippi. We were taking the people in Pensacola. Mm-hmm. And this is what our friend said, Leo DeJesus, who lives right across the Mississippi there from New Orleans. He has an office that looks right over the Mississippi at the Superdome.
Yeah.
Isn't that something?
Yeah, that's cool.
He saw some stuff. No, actually, that got built after Katrina. Mm. And although he did live there, but that kind of went away because I saw the river. But he said that when the hurricane hit, it scattered the church all over New Orleans, and she's still scattered today. She's still scattered today. And that's what happens, because, see, if you had shepherds, you may be scattered, but eventually your shepherd is going to find you because they know you. Mm-hmm. They know who you are. I mean, unless you're avoiding and running and eluding them, you're going to find each other.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And so, but he says they're still scattered today. And I'll give a big shout out to Leo Jesus. And Sandy, oh my goodness, Sister Sandy and Brother Leo.
Yeah.
Great, great couple. She's like, get in here. How did you know that? And we met her. She was working in a flower pot. And literally. Mm-hmm. And Ants, Vines, and Flower Pots is a real good book to be able to get from Charles Simpson to begin to really think about this. Listen, it is time to do what you got to do what God's called you to do. This present day situation is being fundamentally transformed. And I really believe it already has been. Now it's just a matter of flipping a few switches to be able to take it there. And but the church will survive if we understand how we're to operate. And if we need a manual, we got one. It's called the Bible.
Right.
It's the Bible, and it's called, we call it abiding with God, which is spending time with him, hiding his word in our heart, talking to God, listen to what he says, and just doing it. Mm-hmm. Share with us about your abiding experience, John. What's the Lord
say? Well, you know, we've been seeing a lot of things that are happening around the world. It's like, you know, you have Israel, you have Russia, you have all these things on the global scene, and all the things are happening, you know, in the economy. And, you know, God's been sharing with us and speaking to us and others about how it's going to be some of the best at times and some of the worst at times. And many in the body of Christ, you know, we've been believing for and praying for revival and third great awakening and to see God's Spirit move in a powerful, powerful way. But one of the things the Lord just had me praying about and just things that just came up and it just kind of coincided with my abiding time is that we need to be prepared. And are we really ready for revival? You know, are we really ready for the outpouring that God's getting ready to do?
It costs you everything, but it's worth everything you pay.
Costs you everything, but you notice that there's always kind of three components that, you know, byproducts of revival that you see happen. And, you know, obviously we're all praying and believing for God to move, but what happens when God moves down the street and not necessarily in what you're gathering?
Give it up.
What happens? What's going on here? And there's kind of three things that result as, you know, are a byproduct of result of revival. One is that, you know, obviously the wonderful presence of the Lord, his abiding presence just kind of remains in a place. We saw that happen, you know, during the Brownsville outpouring and the revival.
Oh, yeah, Brownsville, yeah.
Yeah, and just his presence and just God's there in the house, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Every night's faithful and just amazing things happen. But
imagine this, though, what you're saying. Imagine if Jesus is walking the streets. This is his 3 years of ministry. Mm-hmm. And you're standing where you are, and you're like, I refuse. He's going to have to come to my place where I'm standing. And Jesus already walked through Capernaum, and you're actually saying to God, his son, Emmanuel, that if he's going to do anything, he's going to have to do it right here. And it's like, ain't going to happen,
ain't
right?
Ain't going to happen.
The ones that ran after him, and that's kind of what I think you're saying, you know, wherever he moves, you got to be ready, right?
You got to be ready, but there's three things, three byproducts that happen. One is God's Spirit and, you know, God's there. But also you see large crowds of people and large, you know, amounts of finances that come into a certain area, especially when revival is moving. And not only are you going to have to go there, but you're not going to have any kind of envy in your heart when God shows up down the street.
This is very important. Let's talk about this after this break because you need to break this down because God is going to move.
Yeah.
And we need to understand this, what you're talking about.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
I thought about you yesterday.
Oh, you did? Thank you. Yeah. Oh, Pat?
No, you.
Oh,
you.
Thank you. Hey, wow. Yeah,
you going to think about me?
Well, you know, you know, Greg's trying to lose all this weight, you know.
Yes,
he's
thank
on this, you know.
Thank
and you. So Teresa is the woman God gave me. You know, she needed to go pick up something, and so we happened to stop at this bakery that I took you to.
Oh wow.
And I saw this cannoli.
Oh, actually, the bakery with the wet cake that was like we got shot at a daycare or whatever it was.
Talk about that bakery.
Yeah. You don't wear flip flops in a high crime zone in Jersey. I'm thinking like, how do you run? You know, they got this Floridian, you know, sitting here, and we got these kids looking at us like we're packing. You better get out of here. You know, it's in your diaper. I mean, come on, how could you be packing? He's like a little small kid. We had to do a 5-point turnaround in a playground in Jersey with flip flops on.
All right.
No.
You should have seen the pain. He goes, oh my gosh, I'm wearing flip flops. I got to change my shoes.
Yeah. What was the lady's name that sold you shoes back when you was little? No, back when you was younger. You was younger. What was her name?
Her name was Home Girl.
Home Girl. Yeah, and he told me about her before we got there.
He didn't believe me. You should have seen the look on his face.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. You're calling her Home Girl? Yeah, why would you call her Home Girl? You know, and of course he goes there.
And we walk in the store, so he's like, yeah, right. Okay. Home Girl, that's her name. So I walk in. And she says, hey, yo, what's up?
She does. She's about 70.
Yeah. She said, this is Home Girl. What's up?
Yeah.
I got some kicks for you. I got some shoes. I got some Louis. What you want?
Yeah, she sure did. She really did. And the second
she found out that, that Home Slice wasn't going to buy nothing. You know, she's like, shut down, didn't she?
Shut down. It was that or either the fact that you pulled out the phone and tried to record her. Home girl.
Oh, did I get it on video? That would be really good because people just don't believe that. That was
funny.
That was a moment. And then, of course, then we're trying to, you know, bust out of there with flip-flops on. And right in front of us is like, you know, bad boys, what you going to do? Remember that? Right in front of us, you have the Jersey police that are like drawing down on this car in front of us. And I'm not driving. John's driving, you know, so we're lost. This GPS is stolen. And so here we are right in front of us. There's no way to get around. We're literally right in front of a takedown, right? It was a takedown in front of us. I mean, it looked like what's that? Cops, the show Cops.
Yeah.
You know, we should have just turned on the music in the car and watched it. It would have been like, an early.
He's like, back up.
Yeah, back up. Because, you know, when you start shooting, but you now know at the Empire, when they start shooting, you know, it's not just the bad guys' bullets that hit things.
That's right.
You know, and so he's like getting closer. You know, the worst thing in the world is to be in a circle with having a gunfight. You know, I mean, I'll never forget that. I was hunting once and the
you hunted?
Yeah, that was once. You
really? Once. My dad's
and fished once too, I think. Once.
You never fished?
Oh, I fished.
I remember taking you fishing, teaching you how to catch mullet. Remember that? We're not gonna bring up how we caught them, but we caught a lot. Remember how they were just you know, there's nothing like a stick of dynamite. No, that's not true. There was no dynamite, but anyway, we caught a lot. So many, they were just jumping all over the place. And we caught so many, it was like we cleaned for days.
Yes.
Right? Oh, yes.
For days. And we were explaining, you know, to John, this is a fin. This is a fish's mouth. And, you know, we've been fishers for quite some time, huh?
Oh, yeah.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's LIGHT, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Welcome back. Join me is Pat and John. John, tell us, this is so important because we're believing, have great hope for a third great awakening, a powerful move of God. The Lord's been showing us in so many different ways and what we're believing for, but with a move of God, comes, you know, we have to begin to reevaluate things.
Yeah, it comes a lot of stuff.
You're talking about three things.
Yeah, three things when the move of God comes, and we've had some experience. We've been
right. We're
been,
talking
been
out of a book. We're
yeah,
talking,
we've lived it. You
well,
know.
Books and or history and our own personal experiences.
Yeah, our own personal experiences. But you have, you know, God's abiding presence, His glory. I mean, we all want God's glory. We want all God to move in our gathering,
which
right?
Which is His presence.
His presence, His blessing, His
miracle,
just miracles,
all
that stuff. You know, people coming to Him.
His awesomeness.
Which is amazing. Mm-hmm. But what happens when God's Spirit pours out in great measure? I mean, yeah, if God's pouring His Spirit all over the world and He's with us. But when a move of God comes, God comes and He just takes over.
Right.
And so you just don't worry about that. You just go wherever God is moving, you want to be a part of it.
Which is good if you've been praying for rain and
it rains.
Celebrate.
However, there are some things that we have to be prepared because, you know, in the beginning this sounds good. But what happens when there's large crowds? With large crowds comes large finances.
You lose your seat, reserve area on your pew thing.
Your parking space, you know, and the folks that were gathering in your fellowship are not gathering in your fellowship anymore because
you don't get
down.
To sing every time something happens.
Things are different. So the question is, can we still continue to pray for the outpouring if the outpouring doesn't necessarily happen, you know, where we're at?
Right.
And we're going to be joining. And the things that I think that the Lord wants us to really just to look at is and to be aware of is this ugly sin of envy. Because envy has stopped so many moves of God. You know, you see so many just things that happen.
Well, I believe in the Brownsville outpouring that with Brother John Kilpatrick and Steve Hill, that I think God said through a prophet up in North Carolina, I believe, that it was His second choice.
Wow.
Second, possibly third, but the other ones turned it in, potentially like you're talking about, you know, the ramifications of this move. Does this mean I lose my 401k? Am I going to lose my kingdom? Am I going to lose my reputation? Probably a lot of people, you know, said, you know, I'm not willing to look like a fool in man's eye. I'd rather have man's acceptance. But all those things, you're right. Yeah. It happens.
They happen, and you got to guard. The church has to guard itself from any kind of envy that's going to be able to separate and bring a division during that time. Listen, if God is moving, Just get in. It doesn't matter. Get in when God moves. You just whatever you where you can right. fit in, get in. Whatever, however way you can serve, whatever way you can be a part of. Right. You want to be a part of it, but you don't want to be used to come against it
right.
or miss it. And some have.
Yeah, wrote books against it and all of that. You know, and remember too that according to George Barna, I wish I had the book with me right here, but like 80% of believers who worship believe worship is about them.
Mm.
When they're singing in that, that's what's, if you didn't tell me that before revival broke out, I'm trying to figure out right. what is this doing for me? Because this song is not a good song for me. Worship is about me.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to let people, it never was about you.
That's right.
We're worshiping God.
Right.
So if you are worshiping God, you're excited when he shows up.
Right.
If you're not, you can check yourself and say, what, whatever that was, even if you're willing to say, I don't think I was even saved.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people, oh yeah, preachers get saved.
Oh yeah. Right?
You know, and that, who cares? It's you and God. Like, hey, I don't know what that was, but this is what I want. Mm-hmm. This is what I want.
Yeah. So you're absolutely right. We need to be engaged. We need to be aware. And the only way that we can do that is exactly what you're saying is that we got to get our focus off of ourselves and back on the Lord and what he wants to do in his kingdom, not our right. kingdom, his kingdom. And the way we do that is really by walking in humility. And James gives us this wisdom. He says there's two kinds of wisdom in this world. Yeah. And whichever one we choose to take on for ourselves, there's, you know, either glorious results or very bad results.
Right.
But the wisdom that God wants us to have is one that is rooted and grounded in humility and is only concerned about him and about other people. And one of the biggest hindrances to revival is when you get in the way of what the move, you know, God, the move of God and being envious of when God's moving somewhere else.
Yeah.
And, you know, James tells us
you got to be willing to give up everything for God. You can't save your face and seek his at the same time, like Tommy Tenney says that.
Right.
You can't. It's true. You got to be willing to lose it. But it's what the whole thing's about. You're going to be, if you don't think it's about that, I know, if you don't think it's about that, you're going to be disappointed when you get to heaven. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. No doubt.
It's like, God, it's just like, oh, he's the center of everything up here. Yeah. It's like he's always been the center of the universe. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, always. Yeah. And the thing, it's so interesting that, you know, you can get so locked in a paradigm of expecting God to move in a certain way. You need to shake all of that because God's going to move the way he wants to move and the way he wants to move amongst the people that he wants to move. And the thing is that we have to be prepared. You got to be in.
And you can probably put your stakes, too, on the fact that it'll be something that humbles you.
Oh, no doubt.
So just be ready. If you're, like, nailed to the floor, you can't move, and you're drooling, you know, whatever.
Embrace humility today. This is the whole point of God saying, you know, embrace humility today.
Right.
That it's only about God, and it's about other people, and put your dependency upon that. And don't get twisted, and don't let the enemy to come on in, you know, guard your heart from any kind of offense or being envious.
Right.
Because who doesn't want God to move?
Right.
But you... It's okay. Just fit in wherever God's, you know, getting ready to pour out his spirit because he's getting ready to pour it out.
Yes, he is.
And rejoice for it. Right. Rejoice for it. But you think about so many moves of God have been hindered because man has gotten in the way.
What does James say about that? Well, you were talking about that.
Yeah, verse 14. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. And if you harbor this type of envy, which is basically jealousy of God pouring out, it's like, are we really being jealous because God's moving down the street? Right. It sounds so silly and awful,
that's
but
horrific.
It's happened.
Oh, yes. Yes.
It's happened.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is like, hey, deal with those issues today because God's getting ready to pour out his spirit, and we want to be a part of it in that in the
and
end
he calls
time.
He calls it earthly wisdom or fleshly or carnal wisdom. But I remember Brother Kilpatrick, you know, Brother John Kilpatrick is a spiritual father to me. Saying before the outpouring at Brownsville, called the Brownsville Revival, he says, I don't care where it is.
Yes.
I remember his exact quote. I don't care where it is, whatever God does, I'm going to be there. If it's up the street, that's where I'm going to be.
Yeah.
And so he was hungry, and God saw his heart and Steve's heart and other people's heart, and just boom.
Yeah.
And so but he was had that mindset that you're talking about.
Yeah, and it was interesting because you saw those that were a part and those that came and ministered and were blessed and gave favor, you know, had the favor of God was on them. And then you saw what happened when people tried to come against it.
Yeah.
It didn't go well for them. It didn't go well for them. Some people even died.
Mm. Yeah.
I mean, it's like, goodness. Yeah. Just like,
but God, the thing is, when God gets close, blessings get close and consequences get close. There's not a much delay between ignorance and ramification.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You can't, when God's nowhere around, you know, his presence is not there, you can think he's okay with what's going on. Mm-hmm. It seems good to me. We talked about this week. But in regards to when he's close, seems good, don't get it, because he's there. Mm-hmm. And with that, normally it should put a holy awe in your heart, yeah. and it does. But some folks, you know, the devil just gets a hold of them, and whatever is in them they didn't deal with just kind of comes up, and Korah's in the middle of that, and you're like, we're in the wilderness, water's coming from a rock, Korah. Right now's not a good time to be able to, boom, and all of a sudden, you know, something happened. So that's kind of, that's the earthly wisdom. What about heavenly wisdom? What does James say about heavenly wisdom?
Well, James continues to say this, which is really good, because this is the type of wisdom that we really want to embrace and keep close in our hearts. But he says wisdom that comes from heaven is, first of all, pure. It's then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. You think about that. I mean, this is the type of wisdom that God wants us to have. The other wisdom is rooted in earthly. Even it goes on to say it's demonic. It's unspiritual.
They even teach that in business school, that earthly wisdom.
That's right.
And heavenly wisdom makes no sense to the people on the earth. But listen, if we want to move of God, and we want to be and God will move with those that will move in their heavenly wisdom. But the thing is, why would you want to miss it? It's for you. God loves you. Don't think that he's not wanting you to go to that, whatever he's doing in that city or in that. He wants you to be a part of that. So just repent and just say, you know, God, whatever it takes, you know, and don't hold your people back that need God, that need refreshing. They need to be touched by God. And you never know. It's going to be a huge harvest.
That's right. Get in while you can.
Right.
And get supportive behind the move of God, because it's coming.
I want to say this too. Get discipled yourself now so you can begin to disciple believers. You can find out more at iabide.org. Get a biblical foundation with God so you're walking rightly before the Lord. So when these new believers or these repentant folks come back to the God, and God comes back to God, and he begins to move, he says, make disciples of the nation. And so immediately every individual can begin to disciple another believer in the Lord. And not only will the move of God be awesome, but it will last. Mm. It'll be lasting fruit.
Oh my goodness! Auntie's Restaurant Barbecue. A taste of Southern soul on Highway 29, just 1/4 mile north from Kingsfield Road, right on the right-hand side. Come on in and get some. Brunson Air and Heating in Mobile. They can do all of your service work quick and efficient. Give them a call today. Brunson Air and Heating. You'll be glad that you did. Mark Downey & Associates is a unique real estate firm that specializes in property management and high-end home sales. The secret to the success of this multi-award-winning firm is simple: aggressive marketing and intense passion for serving others. If you're looking for a team of professionals that ensures the total satisfaction of their clients, contact Mark Downey's team today. Taqueria Ogies, authentic Mexican food. They're coming all over the Gulf Coast for some. Come get some today. Spicy, hot, and delicious. Your plate is next. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget, you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.